Hello, it is June 8th, 2015. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 510 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'm back from Charleston, South Carolina, where I gronked for a week. I'm like, who am I kidding? I barely took my shirt off. I barely left the house. If you could figure out a human being who is the literal opposite of Gronk in every possible way, it would probably be me. This is a compliment to Gronk, not a compliment to me. Anyway, I hope everyone's had a wonderful week. We are back with Allison Futter and Leach. Today we have one more podcast later on this week. We'll be talking to Shane Ryan, a writer for Grantland and author of the new book, which I have read and is terrific, Slaying the Tiger, which is out on Tuesday. You should pre-order it now. It is out through Amazon and much more author-friendly booksellers. We're going to talk to him. It's about the PGA Tour and all the young guns of the PGA Tour. But right now, it's Allison and I talking, doing our weekly chat. So have a good one, and let's get gronked. All right, Allison, first up, before we get started, you have been hanging out with someone a lot cooler than me over the last couple of days.
I don't know if that's possible, Will. So are we starting with this? Are we starting with the Hollywood All-Stars?
Absolutely. I was thinking about this. It's more interesting than anything I have to say about anything else. So you've been – what have you been doing last couple of days? You've been doing like lots of fun things with fancy celebrity people.
Yeah, so I was in Los Angeles, and I was helping out some of our crew on a show we do called Express Written Consent, which is a fun weekly show where we have celebrities in a suite at Dodger Stadium, and we being not me, but our Jeremy Brizell, he sits with the celebrity, and he has like a 15-minute conversation, and they have all kinds of quirky stuff happen, and they do a little fun exercise called Start Bench Cut, and it's really great. So we were there over the weekend just like filming as many as humanly possible, which was like just a Herculean task for these guys, and they were amazing. And the reason why we were doing it then, well, one of them, it coincided with the celebrity all-star games, the Hollywood all-star game, which they used to have regularly there at Dodger Stadium, especially back in the 80s when it was actually baseball and not softball. And those games were like, you know, Tony Danza and Alan Thicke and Henry Winkler. It was really fun. So they brought it back, and one of the players was Gary Marshall, who, of course, is a legendary producer of just about every, you know, iconic sitcom from the 70s and 80s. Plus, he was in A League of Their Own. And
yeah, he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine recently. He was in a really very funny episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine not too long ago. Yes, he's a legend in the business.
Yes, he's a legend in the business, and he's amazing. And so he was playing in the softball game, and he was tabbed in the press release as honorary manager along with Larry King. So we were asking them, like, basically what they're going to be doing as honorary managers. And Larry King was like, I'm playing. And I thought he was kidding. You know, you don't really know, like, you know, the level of seriousness before a celebrity softball game. Well, anyway, they both played. And so Gary Marshall, you know, he's taking, like, BP, basically, and he's connecting with every single pitch. And he's got really good form, and he's hitting. And then the game starts, and he leads off with a double. Of course, he had, like, somebody run for him. But it turns out that he plays in a weekly senior softball game in Los Angeles. And, like, he used to be a first baseman and a second baseman, and now he just pitches. And he's just spry and active and amazing. And I was thoroughly impressed because the guy, not only did he hit, but he also pitched during the game, and he's just a delightful human being. So he's like talking about, you know, I don't know if you remember when Happy Days crew used to like tour around and like do celebrity softball games, like just the Happy Days crew. They went overseas, they went all over the country, and so he was saying like that they had to basically teach Henry Winkler how to be a pitcher. But the funniest part was that he would refer to everybody by their real names. He'd be like Ron Howard, Donnie Most, Aaron Moran, and then he'd say, and Fonzie. So he referred to Henry Winkler only as Fonzie. It was fantastic. Yeah, it was a thrill to meet him.
I'm going through, I think the Dodgers team photographer has one of the MLB blogs. So I'm going through some of the people that played in this game. You know, all told, I was kind of expecting like a
like a sixth tier, like Gary Coleman sibling or something. Right. And it, but some of these guys aren't so bad. Like you know, Rob Riggle, that guy's a guy. Jaleel White, Lisa Leslie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never seen her in person before. That is a sight to behold. 6'5", and she looks. She is just. It makes your jaw drop when you see her in person.
Yeah. I always feel like it's cheating in these celebrity games to have people that are successful athletes in other sports.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're not so good at. They're usually not so good at baseball.
I know, but still, like, I still feel like Lisa Leslie's got an advantage over Larry King. That's just that's regardless. Yeah. Of the skill specific to baseball. James Vanderbeek, I guess I'm assuming that James Vanderbeek probably just sits around waiting for the game to finally happen. Like, he's just been in the Dodger Stadium dugout with the skunks, apparently. Were you there for the skunk thing?
I was not. I missed the skunk thing. And, you know, the funny thing about these celebrities, they were all, like, really excited to be playing in this and really excited to be interviewed about it. And so, you know, being media people, like, we're used to people just wanting to kind of run away from us. But this was quite pleasant because everyone was just really enjoying themselves. And, I mean, there were some pretty good names. Rob Riggle, he actually played in the All-Star Celebrity Softball game last year in Minneapolis. So I think maybe he's working himself as a regular in these, which is great because he's athletic and he's really cool and he's really fun. So he's a very good one for the game.
So, well, that sounds like fun. They still do the Celebrity All-Star game thing every year, right? They still do that.
Yes.
They still do that. So, because I think I always feel like all I remember for the last few years is Ozzie Smith coming out and doing another somersault, which is weird that he can still do that at like 64. So,
yeah, you worry a little bit about him.
Yeah, I was worried about him when he was 39. I'm definitely worried about it now. But all right, well, okay, well, so are you still in Los Angeles or have you gone home?
I flew home this morning, so I'm in Houston.
Okay. Yes. Well, welcome back. Well, I feel like Gary Marshall is also, I'm looking at some of the pictures. You're right. Gary Marshall looks fantastic. Larry King looks a lot like Larry King.
They're so sharp of the mind that, I mean, they both look like Gary Marshall. He does look great, but he does look 80. He looks all of his 80 years, which is, there is nothing wrong with that, by the way, because what a life and amazing journey he's been on. And but to see them, you know, in person when they're not like on TV and movies, when they're just themselves, it's a little bit different than when you see them on TV.
and you know, I was going to say people like us that are young, but let's just go with younger.
Right.
Like, we're such jerks about it. We're like, oh, wow, he looks awfully old. Well, listen, when I'm 80, if I look anything at all, it will be quite the pleasant surprise.
Well, and the thing was, like, when I was, I mean, I felt, you know, kind of weird, like, asking Gary Marshall, like, how are you making such great contact? It's just, you know, like, it's not like you're not remotely allowed to or capable of it, but it was just, it was very surprising to see that because it's not like he's, like, walking without any kind of bend. Anyway, then he's like, I truly do play every single week in a senior softball league. Okay.
I can't even believe you can hold the bat, man. Let alone that's a question to ask delicately, which I'm sure you did quite well. That actually sounds like fun. And they used to do it all the time, and now it's just I like the idea of like having actual real hardball baseball games.
Yeah, I think that's what they wanted to do. I think that they were having a less of a response as far as people who wanted to participate when it was just going to be baseball, which I understand. I mean, you know, times have changed, things have changed, people have changed. But I think that they do want to start having more of these. It's a fan-friendly kind of thing, and that's sort of everybody's mantra these days is to, you know, keep connecting with the fans. I think the last one they had was like 8 years ago. There's really no reason not to have it. It's just a great undertaking to try to get the participants. But and then just one more thing, Larry King was so funny. He was like telling us how they issued him like special socks, but they were like anklets. He's like, I don't wear anklets. I don't wear anklet socks. I'm wearing my own socks. They also issued us underwear, but I opted not to wear that underwear. I'm wearing my own underwear. And then he just stopped and said, "You have very nice teeth." So,
I'm sure. Also, God help the person that tries to tell an 83-year-old man that he's wearing different socks today. Like that, this seems like something that's not gonna be like no. I'm 83. I'm wearing. It's gonna be great. We're all gonna love it because we make it to 83. It's awesome because nobody no one can do anything to you anymore. So you can just do whatever you want. Like you and I, we still have to play ball with the rest of the world and can't say any of the horrible sock related things that we're actually thinking. So. Exactly. Okay, well, that sounds fun. I've never been, because I'll be in Cincinnati this year. We've talked about how we'll chat, we'll do a live show, and by live I mean you'll be sitting next to me rather than sitting through Skype. But we'll do something there. I think this is the year I may actually go to the celebrity game. I go to the Futures game. Futures game is always really fun, but the celebrity game maybe I'll give it a shot this year. Maybe I'll see Larry King Sox. Okay,
I doubt that Larry King will be there, but yeah, it should be a good one this year.
Larry King doesn't go to Cincinnati. Come on. All right. So one thing I want to talk about, two things I want to hit here, because it's kind of, to be honest, when we were talking about topics, it's kind of a weirdly slow week because everyone is all focused on the draft.
Right.
And everyone is completely focused on the draft. And you and I discussed this a little bit last week. Neither one of us is a draft expert. This is kind of Jonathan Mayo's and the rest of the MLB Network crew. I'll be watching. Partly because this is probably the most local interest I'll ever have, if just because Tyler Jay, who is a pitcher for my University of Illinois Fighting Illini, who are tipping to make their first ever College World Series, he has the opportunity. They were supposed to play tonight, Sunday night, and their game got rained out. He has a very real opportunity to be drafted while on the mound tomorrow,
woo!
Which is kind of a cool idea. But he is the one person in the draft I know. and I think that's generally kind of telling. I think that I know the baseball is doing the best they can to build this into a larger thing. And I think it is definitely a larger thing than it was a year ago. And I certainly understand the rules of it a little bit in a way that I didn't used to. I understand the strategies behind it. I just don't know the people.
Right.
So. Yeah, so I feel like I'm not enough of an expert to get into the draft stuff, except to say it will be, like, I'm sure in 10 years. It was funny even because, MLB.com did this cool thing about the 2005 draft, about the last week. They had all these people that they looked back at that draft. And it's funny because 2005, that's a long time ago.
Yes.
That's literally 10 years ago. Like if you look at life in 10-year increments, you only get like 7 of those. Like 10 years is a long time. And you look at the people that are playing, Andrew McCutchen, like Jay Bruce, like all these guys that are still really young. It's like,
right.
Yeah. So it's just like, wow, I really don't even, like in 10 years, the people that are drafted in that draft on Monday and the rest of the week will still be the young stars of baseball. So I figure I can catch up with all those guys later.
Yeah, that gives you plenty of time to learn the names, learn the spellings, whether they're at right or left, the important thing.
Exactly. So, and frankly, if there's no ambidextrous players, I mean, why are they even drafting?
Right. Exactly.
But, I mean, in an age where one of the top five most enjoyable players to watch is Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I feel like, okay. The draft, I'll get caught up with you guys, but it'll be a cool thing. It'll be a fun thing to watch to see how my Cardinals do, and so on. But one thing I was kind of thinking about was one thing ESPN did this week that I thought was kind of fun is they did their franchise player draft, and they took first of all, it was a good reminder. ESPN has a lot of people who cover baseball.
Yeah, those names, I'm like, really?
Yeah. Okay. Because I was like, wow, it's a draft. No, it's just 30 different people making 30 different names. Right. So they had their franchise draft. And I thought that, the first pick was Mike Trout, obviously, then Harper, Stanton, which I actually, to be honest, as much as he hits long home runs, feels maybe a little high. To me, he's actually not having that great of a year. He's just hitting really long homers. But anyway, so Stanton, Felix Hernandez, Anthony Rizzo, so on. What I found fascinating, and you corrected me on this because I originally had this wrong, the three teams that have the best records in baseball as of today are the Cardinals, Nizola's Astros, and the Minnesota Twins. Of those 30 players, only one, Carlos Correa, who has yet to even play a game in the major leagues, is involved in any of those organizations. And so it's weird because, in other sports, there's this idea that the draft, that if you one player can change everything. And I think it's another reason the MLB draft is not that big of a deal. Not because it's not exciting, and not because these aren't interesting people, and they're not all this brain power going in. But one of the things I love about baseball so much is one guy just can't make that much difference.
Right. And, that's exactly what it proves.
Yeah. And, like, the idea that, like, all of these players that you would put your entire franchise, build your entire franchise around, that franchise would still not have one of the best records in baseball. And I wonder about that. Like it's strange that, you know, do you like, that's something I like about baseball. But, you know, people often say sometimes, well, baseball needs more marketable names. You know, Mike Trout's only in a couple Subway ads, but everyone should know him, or so on. Do you feel like that's a feature, not a bug? Do you like that about baseball, that there's not one individual star that can get too big, or does it hurt sometimes because you can't really market individual players that much?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of, the way I see it is like, okay, Derek Jeter, you know, he was the face of baseball for all those years. Well, he was also a Yankee. So if Mike Trout was a Yankee, he would be a much different Mike Trout than he is, as far as the public goes, as far as how well-known he would be. And so I think it's just a matter of that we need a Yankee to be, you know, and I'm sorry because I know that angers people and that makes them upset, and I get that. But, you know, there's, like, several, like, amazing all-around, just amazing players that are playing in the markets that we're not paying attention to. And I really, you know, maybe Ken Griffey Jr., like, a guy like that that's just, like, that special. I mean, I think maybe we need that. But, when you look at this list, I mean, you look at the Astros and, you know, Jose Altuve is leading in all-star voting for second baseman, and Dallas Keuchel is having, like, a Cy Young year. But I mean, you don't look up and down like their team, and you can't pick out any other All-Stars because there are none. Yeah. Yet they're having a pretty phenomenal season. And so, you know, I mean, kind of the Cardinals, you know, really, I mean, who are the people that are standing out and, like, carrying this team? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's the joy of it to me, is that, like, there's no, like, you have guys that have breakout years, but really top to bottom. And, like, you know, even if you look at, I mean, if you're going to twist my arm, I'll talk about the Cardinals for a second. But, you know, this is a team that's like, you know, I mean, they've lost their first starting first baseman. They've lost their ace.
Right.
You know, they've had all these kind of injuries and so on. But the difference is they always have someone to come and fill up. Because, and it's weird because I think it's another reason that baseball has become a game that that not just, I think it gets people get caught up in the sabermetric aspect of it. In a lot of ways, it's almost like, it's like game theorists are into baseball and like executive planners are into baseball because it is a game where, like, you can, like, it's funny. I have a friend that's a financial advisor, and he loves baseball because you can plan out something that's going to happen 10 years from now and actually put together a plan for it. Whereas football, if you have one bad year, they'll shoot you in the street. You know, right. And in basketball, you just have to hope to find one guy. To me, you know, I as someone that loves the long term and likes the long haul on everything, to me, that's what's fun about baseball. It's fun about a team like the Cardinals because, you know, when, you know, people are kind of like, man, people use the Cardinals devil magic, I think is the thing they always use. Whenever the Cardinals, like, some guy that you don't think is going to be good comes up and is really good for the Cardinals. But that is not, in fact, an accident. and that's all about playing an organization and why, you know, having one individual guy doesn't make that much difference. Why the Angels basically, like, have Mike Trout and then a bunch of, like, if you took away Mike Trout from the Angels, they would be 3 or 4 games worse, but not, you know, like, to me, that's, it's just kind of a funny thing about baseball. So, is there anyone, would you pick Trout if you just had someone to pick now, or would it be Harper, would it be somebody else?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I kind of would pick Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd definitely pick an everyday player, but, yeah, except if you had Madison Bumgarner. I'm just looking at this list. I mean, there's some, like, phenomenal players. But, yeah, I mean, I think Trout or McCutchen.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. But I'd also pick somebody who was, I don't know, it's like you could build a team around, but you'd also have to consider, like, can you build a team around if you have to give him all the money?
Right. Which is the other, which is why, of course, you may get your wish when you talk about needing a Yankee, because either Trout or Harper, one of them's going to be a Yankee. Like, there's just no way it's not going to happen. Harper has said he always wanted to be a Yankee. Trout's from Jersey. Like, one of those guys is going to become a Yankee someday.
Well,
so.
Trout, how many years did he just sign for, though?
Yeah, but, like, he's still going to be, like, 28. I think. He's still going to be, like, 28, I think, when that comes up. So, and Harper, I mean, heck, he could be, like, 26 and be a Yankee and so on. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like, and even, you know, even with this, you know, the problem with this stuff too is it's why I think it's weird to see someone like Carlos Correa on there, who, by all accounts, and you know, you would know, like, he is terrific. You know, people like are so excited. He's dominant every level. He's like the next superstar. You know, on the other hand, 3 years ago, this list has Jason Hayward in the top five.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like, you know, all these things are, you know, the fun of baseball is baseball is so hard that even like there's no way LeBron James was not going to be great at basketball.
Right.
Like, he was just going to be great at basketball. He's just perfect at basketball. But baseball is so hard that you can have all the natural talent in the world, and you can crap out in 2 years. Like, the B.J. Upton being a great example of that. So
again, yeah, no, there are no guarantees, and I wish that people would stop talking about Carlos Correa, because I think that he just needs to take the natural course of things. And it's just, I mean, he can handle, I'm sure he'll be able to handle a lot, but he's still so young, and I don't know. It just bugs me. It's like the vultures, you know, they're like swimming around, just like waiting to sink their teeth right into him. And just everybody step back and breathe.
Yeah, it is funny too, because, you know, the idea of baseball used to be that, you know, you were supposed to work your way up through these things, you know, and now they treat it like a basketball. You know, I think we've seen some of this, you know, you've seen this, you know, the last few years. Well, again, to talk about the Cardinals briefly, they've had their first-round pick 2 of the last 3 years, have played for the team later that year. Marco Gonzalez and then Michael Wacha before that. So, like, in a way, and like Tyler Jay, the Illinois guy, is thought to be someone, because he's a bullpen arm, that could help out a team now. Like, legitimately, this October. We saw Finnegan for the Royals last year, the left-hander.
Right.
That was at Texas Christian or Texas A&M. So, like, you know, you've seen... It's weird that the MLB draft, which we talk about like in 10 years, we'll have an idea what's going on. But some of these guys could legitimately be there in October, which is, I don't know. And then, of course, someone could be drafted just above them that's 17 and won't play for years and years. So the point of it is the MLB draft is confounding and confusing and baffling. And as much as we love baseball so much, it still is very confusing to us. The last thing I wanted to talk about briefly, because it's kind of a filler week, is... I was looking over the standings, you know, the teams that you would expect to be in last. You know, someone's pointed out that, like, the American League is almost completely bass-ackward of what people thought was going to happen. Like, the Twins and Astros, and even some people had the Yankees in last. All those teams are in first. And I'm wondering, is there what team in baseball, as a fan, like, you know, because, again, I know you're not a fan, Nizola's a fan. But certainly 3 years ago, the Astros seemed like a pretty bad team to be a fan of. Even if you hoped that the new regime was going to eventually get something out, you knew it was going to be rough for the next 3 years or so. Who's the team that you're most relieved in all of baseball that you're not a fan of?
Phillies?
Is it the Phillies?
Phillies, yeah. I mean, I don't even think there's a question about it. And I mean, I say this like having not studied their minor league system, but right. I can only imagine what it looks like. And the problem is that they lopped off the top of their system to try to win a few years ago, as we all know.
Yeah.
And the trade with the Astros really, you know, was a punch in the gut for them. But they got Hunter Pence and trying to win a World Series. But they let their team get old. And they all aged together, and they haven't really replenished much. I think the last time I looked, they were like ranked 25th in terms of organizational talent of the 30 teams, and they haven't just sort of, you know, like the Braves, the way the Braves do it. It's like, okay, we're going to just break it down a little bit right now, and so that we don't have to sink all the way down before we're going to be good again. And this is kind of how we're going to maintain. Well, the Phillies, I think, have done it completely wrong, and they just did not sell off the players that they needed to sell off, the time that they needed to sell them off, and to get more talent into the system. And I think that that organization is in big, big, big trouble for many, many, many years.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Phillies. I think are obviously they're a good pick. Part of me still feels like the Phillies are always going to have money. Like, they may not have the best guy in charge right now, but and he may be making things worse or may have already made things worse. Though I think there are some Phillies, so I've read some Phillies writers who have talked about how he actually has not sold off the future that much in the last 2 years. He just did such a bad job of selling off the future before, then they're still digging their way out in a lot of ways.
But did they have good drafts? I mean, have they had good drafts?
Yeah, certainly they got a long way to go, no question. But I just mean that, like, the stupid moves that he made in the last few years that really got them in this position, he hasn't made them the last couple years. And it's possible because he had nothing left to trade. That's also worth noting. But to me, because the Phillies, as I agree, they're obviously, it's looking rough for them. But they're still, you know, that's still a major market. That's still a team that's got a lot of money. And if they can, like, Howard only had, like, it's funny, the Howard contract is so bad, but it's still, you know, it's not like, now there's what, like, 3 years left? Like, it's not like Pujols, or you have seven, for example.
Right.
Like, that's going to be gone at some point, and eventually they'll trade Hamels. Like they're a mess, and they're ugly right now, but clearly, you know, I'm not sure, like, the worst isn't over, because they're still going to be bad for a while, but the... Hey, like, they're not going to sign Ryan Howard. If they signed Ryan Howard, like, you know what? Another extension. Like, it's not going to get that bad. So I feel like eventually they're... To me, when I looked at this, the teams that are with the Phillies... The Phillies are definitely still down there. The teams that are closest are both also in the National League. One is Miami, just because it's Miami. And you just never know. You just never know what kind of weird stuff they're going to do. And, like, this year they spent money. It's gone poorly. And then the Jennings mess. They have that Knicks feel that they're just like, no matter what happens, they're going to screw it up. But in a more practical sense, I actually worry a lot about the Reds. I feel like the Reds, because they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of talent, but it's all getting older. It's all about the end of the contract. They've made poor decisions with the way they're spending their money. They're clearly going to have to rebuild at some point. It feels like they are like the Phillies, except a little earlier on in the process. It hasn't gotten as bad as it's going to get, as it got for the Phillies, but it might, and they're in a super tough division. Like, if you were to pick, like, 10, if the top 10 teams for the next 10 years, or the next 5 years, probably can't do 5-10 years now, three of them are in their division. Like, the Pirates, Cubs, and Cardinals are all teams that are going to be awesome for a considerable period of time. So the Reds, it feels like they have 3 or 4 years before they can even start building something again.
Yeah.
And so, like, at least the Phillies know, we stink now, and now we can't, like, we actually have to do something. The Reds are now in this weird point, and it's weird because it's coming up in the All-Star game, which I think has actually hurt them, because I think they wanted to put a good team on, wanted to not be in last place or in the All-Star game, and because of that, they've held on maybe a little bit too longer for some of their stuff, because now it's going to start getting ugly. Because listen, who wouldn't want Chapman? Who wouldn't want Cueto? And, like, it's exciting. It's almost worse because you know the Phillies are terrible right now. But if you're a Reds fan, you still get excited. You have our oldest Chapman. You have Joey Votto. You have Johnny Cueto. You have some good players. You have Jay Bruce and so on. But they're not. It's never going to be enough. They're just going to get worse. And they're going to have to start this process soon. So for me, I almost feel like the Reds may be in the worst shape. Because it's not like there's any other major juggernauts in the East. Like, Washington has a good team right now, but they're going to come up to some money problems soon. The Mets... Their money problems, I think, are well documented. The Braves have a while to go. The Marlins are a mess. It feels like there's going to be a window for the Phillies sooner than maybe there'll be for the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds were basically the Phillies from, like, 2 years ago, right? I mean, is that where we're, like, where they're just not far enough along in the process to have their bad contracts where they're not going to hurt them for as long anymore?
Yeah, they're not as gruesome right now, but they're going to get gruesome.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Phillips, Joey Votto. I mean, yeah, they signed, like, guys to contracts that big market teams sign, and they just can't sustain if these guys aren't, like, single-handedly carrying the team to the playoffs, which, of course, we know doesn't work that way. But, yeah, you're right. I just see the Phillies as just...
Yeah, the Phillies are... Yeah.
You can have all the money. That's fine. You're making tons of money. But, I mean, you know, as we've seen, I mean, the game is going back to being, like, a game where you have to be young and you have to be athletic, you have to be fast. And so it's just how you're going to draft and how you're going to allot the money that you're allowed to spend in the draft. I mean, I don't know. I sort of feel like things are almost evening out so much because... I mean, I don't think we've seen it yet, but, like, with the draft, I mean, everyone's kind of spending around the same, and so you have the same shot at people, and so it's really going to expose teams for whether they can identify talent or not. I think it'll be interesting the next 5 or 6 years to see how this thing shakes out.
Yeah. I think the choice probably is the Phillies, but I think the Reds could at least probably give them the closest run. And then, again, Miami just being Miami. You just never know with those guys.
And doesn't it blow your mind that there's still teams are going to be idiots in the offseason and sign players to these absurd contracts it boggles my mind. It really does. And then they just, I don't know. It's almost like, do you want me to feel sorry for you because you did this idiotic thing that nobody would recommend you do and you did it anyway?
Yeah. It's weird too because, like, there's so much money in baseball right now that everyone feels like they can do it. Like, well, it's, you know, we can do it. Come on. And then next thing you know, like, again, look at, talking about Trout earlier, like, looking at the Angels, like, Trout is, like, their window is right. Like, they're in serious danger of wasting Trout's, like, I guess I would say wasting Trout's prime. He's only, like, 23 or 24. But still, like, you know, it feels like to be what he's been the last few years and to have that mess going on. Like, you know, Trout saved them in like so many ways, and they just might not be able to save them enough. So I don't know.
I think that the Angels are another team. I mean, I didn't want to name them because I think that the Phillies are in worse shape, but the Angels are their window is closing. I mean, their farm system is also not very good, to be nice. And they've got a lot of these high-priced guys that are not going to be very productive. I don't care what Albert Pujols is doing now. I mean, this is it's an absurd contract. Yeah. I mean, we've gone over this before, but no, they're in large amounts of trouble coming up.
Yeah, I feel like and the Tigers are actually kind of similar to that too. But the only difference, and the Tigers are actually a little bit worse off right now, just because I think they're both about the same. Of course, the difference between the Reds and the Phillies and the Angels and the Tigers is that the Angels and the Tigers are still competitive. And the Reds and Phillies are in the it's hopeless and we suck, which is a tough spot to be in. That's a tough spot to be in.
I don't feel sorry for the Phillies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I don't either.
I mean, anybody could have seen that coming, and if you're just going to make these kinds of long-term decisions, and good luck to you.
Yeah, I agree, because another reason the Reds may not end up being off as bad as the Phillies is they won't do what the Phillies did. Like, the Reds can't really kid themselves now to be like, no, we're going to do it, we're going for it. Like, the Phillies like kidded themselves into thinking they still a competitive team. The Reds aren't really going to be able to do that, which means theoretically they shouldn't get as low as the Phillies got. But
yeah, and you can't when you're in the market like the Reds. You can't go
exactly,
that.
Exactly. You can't. Exactly. Exactly.
Everybody, just look at Atlanta. Just do what Atlanta does.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Except
don't build a ballpark in the suburbs.
I was going to say. I literally was just about to say the same thing. Don't build a ballpark off 75 and 285. For crying out loud. It's going to be a nightmare. Oh, it's going to be a nightmare. And of course, they're all. I was about to say something derogatory about some of the residents of the area. I'll just say that they are not as welcoming to a subway system that should go out there from the city as they should be. Let's go with that. So that's not derogatory. It would be a better place if it's going to be weird to think that it's going to be hard for people from Atlanta to go see Atlanta play, which is sad. But that's all right. Yeah. We all like John Hart. He's a smart guy. So he's up on the same. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Allison. A pleasure. I don't know if we're going to be able to. We're both traveling next week, so we may be off next week. So have wonderful travels. I'll miss you. I think when we come back in 2 weeks, I think maybe we'll do an all-star team. So I think that's about when voting will end. And so I was going to say get together your old punch ballot, but we don't. But our the company that employs both you and I has done away with the punch ballot.
That's good. I'm glad.
I think so too.
Playing field a little bit.
I know. I used to get those things under the little chads under my nails and be infected, and it was terrible.
Yeah, I would just get like 30 ballots and just punch Paul O'Neill 30 times. Yeah. That was how I spent my days at Red Sox.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'll talk to you again in a fortnight when we do all sort of stuff. But happy travels and everything. It's a pleasure as always, and we'll chat in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks, Will.
All right, thank you to Allison Futter, national correspondent for MLB.com, national Gary Marshall correspondent for MLB.com. I'm Will Leach, national Larry King correspondent for MLB.com. You can follow Allison on Twitter, at Allison Futter, AllisonFooter. We'll be back. I'm going to be back on Tuesday with Shane Ryan, the writer for Grantland, author of the new book Slaying the Tiger, about the young guns on the PGA Tour. Otherwise, this is Will Leach Experience Podcast, Footer and Leach edition. Music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back on Tuesday. Be safe, everybody.